Okay, I know we're getting there. We're going there a lot. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Maybe this will be the last message we talk about this subject, but marriage and home and family and all. But I don't know, maybe. But we'll look here tonight. There's another little truth that we need to look at. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's read verse 7. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." All right. Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the good song they just sang. Thank you for the ones we sang together here. Thank you for the Word of God. It sure is wonderful that we have something that's unchangeable to go to, something so clear, something that feeds our souls, and an anchor that we can always get our direction from. And Lord, I pray you'd bless it now to our hearts. Help us to get the right understanding here tonight about this matter, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, I hope you don't think I've picked on the women too much here. I think we're about even. We're talking about the husbands tonight. But as in talking about the husbands, you got to say quite a bit about the wives. Because it's about how the husband's supposed to deal with the wife and treat her and think of her and all of that. So you have to say some things about her too. So the fact is brought to light here that the husband is held responsible by God for his wife. The scriptures we just read here. And if you take the whole context here, he's making clear that the husband is held responsible by God for his wife. You can find that all through the Bible. God came to the man. God spoke to the man.
That's right.
And the man's responsible. It's still that way. Even in liberated 2020, when it comes right down to it, the man's responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows that. He's not to be ignorant of his duty to his wife before God. Men, you're responsible to know what your duty is before God to your wife. Don't you think that's reasonable? You think you ought to know what God expects of you as a husband?
Yes, sir.
He's not to be ignorant of the basic nature of the female gender. Now, hey, women, you never understand women. Well, that is not true. You can't just throw it out and say, well, I don't understand. There's some things I don't. I still don't after all this time. But that don't mean that I have an excuse to be ignorant of it all. Just throw it out and say, I don't understand. Forget it. I'm going fishing. No, you can't do that. Mm-mm.
No, that's right.
You're supposed to try to understand. You're supposed to take what the Word of God says about the female gender. God gives plenty of information here in the Word of God. The man is to have some structure and guidelines in his relationship with his wife. He's not to be, he's to be the guide in the order of the relationship and the relationship with God. He's the guide. He's the one that determines the guidelines and everything. You know, I read this thing here a while back, and it said, if the kids start going to church, almost none of the fathers ever get saved. If the wife starts going to church, more of the fathers end up getting saved. But if the father starts going to church, just about the whole family ends up in church. That's right.
That's right.
And that's true. I believe that. So he's to be the guy. He's the one that determines. He's the one that's at the wheel of the ship. He's the one that says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Right.
And he's not to just go, he's not just along for the ride or letting whatever happens happen. He's getting married and let's see what happens. You know. Okay, sarah, sarah. That ain't the way to run a marriage.
No,
not going to work that way. He's to keep himself informed of the knowledge of his wife. Dwell with them according to knowledge. What are you supposed to know? You're supposed to know some things about her. Know what's going on in her life apart from you. Mm-hmm. So many people are separated but still married. And I don't mean living in different houses. They live in the same house, but they live separate lives. Yeah. They have separate friends and all of that. And he don't know what's going on in her mind and heart. You better. Let me tell you, you better apply yourself to know, to dwell with her according to knowledge. You better know what's going on. Better not be ignorant, careless, disinterested, apathetic about it. You need to know what's going on in her life apart from you. You know, people are taken by surprise a lot of times when she comes and says, I want a divorce, or I'm leaving. Or she just goes and don't even say bye, or I'm leaving or nothing, just gone. And they're just shocked. Because they weren't paying attention to what was going on apart from them. The only thing they paid attention to was what was going on while they were together. They didn't think about all this time she spends at work or down at the gym, which is abominable.
Yes, sir.
Or girls' nights out and all of that. Yeah, gyms. That's something that I am really adverse to. I ain't stupid about that.
Yep.
People don't go there to get their body in shape. They go there the same reason they go to taverns and bars and everywhere else. Amen.
Amen.
And them people smart, they got people that'll pay to do it. Now, you go there and pay them so you can come in there and hang out with people. A lot of women go to gyms. And their husband ain't there. You talk about foolishness and wickedness and just plain old stupid.
Yep.
Amen. I don't know anybody here that's going to a gym, but if you are, just go ahead and swallow it down. If he's always, you know, what's going on in her mind and heart? What's going on in her life apart from you? But also what's going on in her mind and heart? What's going on with her interaction with other people? Who's she talking to? Who's she associating with? What are they putting in her mind? How are they influencing her heart and her thinking? That's important. Hey, yep. Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Don't be an ignoramus about it. Don't be in the dark about it. Wake up and pay attention. What's going on with her interaction with people and by what and by whom is she being influenced? People don't even do that with their kids anymore. And people don't do that with their wife or their husband. No. They just meet at the house. And everybody takes their baths there and everybody feeds themselves at random times there. And they sleep in the bed there, but the rest of their life is out somewhere else. That goes for the husband, the wife, and the kids, and nobody knows what anybody's doing. And then they're all shocked when something terrible happens. He's to dwell with her. That means stay with her. When you dwell with somebody, that means you live with them. That means you're with them. That don't mean that you just meet them in passing. You live together. You dwell together. That means you're both in the same place at the same time, all you can be.
Yep.
We have to work. Man has to work, has to go to work and come home. But life is not all about work.
No, sir.
No, it ain't. Making a living. We're to work so we can have to give to those that need, in need. God will take care of us if we'll put first things first. Now, do you think your job's more important than your family? And it's never, never more important than your family. You know, people that, like, they do different jobs. Truck driving is one of them. I'm not against driving a truck, but I'm against being gone for weeks and months at a time from your family. Now, you want to talk about you asking for trouble, you asking for trouble.
Yes, sir.
Same with any other kind of job that keeps you away from home. It's no good.
No.
It ain't worth it. I don't care how much they pay. It's not worth it. It means to spend time with her, dwell with them. dwell with them. It means to spend time with them. If he's always gone, he's not dwelling with her. He's only sleeping in the bed or in the house, and that's not what this means. Living in the same house don't mean dwelling with them. The dwelling with them has a deeper meaning, a fuller meaning. You understand?
Yes.
They're not cohabitating. They're dwelling together. To dwell with her means to experience life together, to become one. You have the same friends and the same fellowship with other people. This old stuff of she has her friends and he has his friends. She has her nights out with her girlfriends and he has his night out with his friends. Recipe for disaster. It's not dwelling together.
No, sir.
You have the same interests and pastimes. Well, that don't mean that, you know, that I have to learn to needlepoint so we can dwell together. No, that's not what I mean. Anything that takes you away from each other, you ought to have the same interests and pastimes.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? A man shouldn't be so into hunting or fishing or anything else of these hobbies that you got. Boats, we followed a boat over here, had to pass him. He's going too slow. But I mean, he'd been to the lake, water's still running out of his boat down the highway. Wonder where his wife was today. Wonder if he knows where his wife was today. I wonder if he cares. Right. Dwell with him. Say, what, you think a boat's wrong? No, I don't think a boat's wrong. But first of all, I wouldn't be out there on the Lord's day floating around on a boat.
Right. Yep.
And if I had a boat and that was my thing and I really wanted to do it, I would do it with her.
Yep.
I wouldn't say, you got to find something else to do today and tomorrow I'm going on my boat. Well, she'd find something else to do. And then when I found out that... you know, she did something, it probably wouldn't suit me what she'd found to do while I was out on my boat. You know, this is important stuff.
Yeah.
You don't live your days and nights separate from each other. You stay together.
Yes, sir.
And it means to have one life together, not two separate lives.
Right.
This old junk that the world is cramming down everybody's throats that... you know, you're both independent individuals and you each got your own life and he ain't got no right. Funny how he doesn't have any right to tell her what to do, but she got plenty of right to tell him what to do. That's how that goes nowadays. It ain't about that. It's about dwelling together. It means to have one life together. The degree to which a couple obeys this instruction from God is the degree to which they'll be happy in their marriage, too. I can promise you that. If you know, some of the people that I've known who've been the happiest, you don't see them apart from one another. If you see one, you see the other.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Whatever they do together.
Yep.
It'll also be the measure of their chances for staying together, by how much they abide by God's instructions right here. And he said, giving honor to the wife. Likewise, your husbands dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. So that's one of the things that sets real Bible Christianity apart from all the other religions. See, the wife is given a special place of honor instead of a place of servitude. We've all read the missionary books and stuff about how these savage cultures treat their women.
Yeah.
And it sure isn't like that. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Giving honor to the wife. She's given special esteem and not cast down as some kind of object or person of little or no value. Those savage cultures don't value the women at all, except as slaves.
Yeah.
They do all the work. And they just get treated like nobodies. The men just stay drunk with whatever they can find to get drunk on, and they fight and kill each other, and that's what they do.
That's true.
A lot of them eat their wives.
Yeah.
A lot of them bury their wives alive with them if they die or get killed in battle or something. Their wives which they have more than one. They bury the wives alive with them. It's how the women are treated. Women ought to be glad if their husband believed the Bible.
Yes, sir.
And if he treats them according to what the Bible says. To give honor is to esteem highly. Mm-hmm. I'm talking slow so you'll digest this a little as we're reading it. To esteem highly, to venerate or reverence.
Right.
Now let the wife see that she reverence her husband. But that the husband give honor to the wife, it's meaning the same thing.
That's right.
Esteem them as somebody very important. You know, it's funny how everybody seems to do that after they die.
Yeah.
But what about while they're living? Did you ever hear this saying or expression, he worshiped the ground she walked on, or vice versa? You know, she worshiped the ground that he walked on. She is the most important person in the life of her husband. There's nobody more important to you than your wife. Man, that's a given. That means she should get the primary attention, doesn't it? If she's the most important person in your life, she ought to get more attention than anything or anybody else.
That's right.
Giving honor to the wife. First dibs on everything. First choice. She gets the first consideration before everything else.
Yep.
She's the most important person in his life. That means she should hold the most important position in his life. See? Above everything else. Above his job. Above any friends. Any family. Genesis 2 and verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You see there? This is God's plan from the beginning. Peter in the New Testament's not varying from the plan of God. He's telling us just how it is. He should hold her in high esteem in his heart and also before others. He should never dishonor her, especially before others. Oh my, you know, that's an important thing. I've seen men just rail on their wife in front of other people. I felt bad for her, felt angry with him, because it's wrong. Shouldn't do that. It's like I said this morning, you're not going to have a marriage without having some troubles along the way. But there's never any excuse for that kind of stuff. You can wait till you get home, wait till you get alone, and then do your talking. And do it reasonably. I've been around couples where she was just, shaken and timid and like she was scared to death of him.
Yes.
That ain't right.
No.
There ain't no way that there's something bad wrong there. He should hold her in high esteem in his heart and also before others. He should be the kind of husband that honors her and does not dishonor or shame her by being, he ought to be faithful to her. To be unfaithful is to dishonor. He ought to honor her by behaving himself properly around other women.
Yes.
Don't you hate to see some guy that's married flirting around with other women?
Yes.
It's a dishonor to his wife. Mm. By being an honorable man and a gentleman and not a base, low-talking, lewd, crude, low-life person. You don't honor your wife if you're like that.
That's right.
You know, how about some manners? How about being polite? How about not being like a lewd fellow of the baser sort. I'll get it right in a minute here. I know some of them.
Yes, sir.
If I was a woman, I sure wouldn't want one of them as a husband.
No.
I'd be ashamed of him. And that's not honoring your wife.
No.
Wife ought to be able to hold her head up. And she ought to be able to be glad for people to know that you're her husband. Instead of like, oh. Yeah, I'm married to him. There's a lot of directions we can go right here. But to honor her is to protect her and shield her from abuse and harm from others also. You don't sick the dogs on her.
That's right.
I'm speaking, yes. I'm not talking about real dogs, bow wow dogs. I'm talking about you protect her from the slanders and the mouths and the insults and the gossip of other people. And then it says, as unto the weaker vessel. Okay, now here we go. Weaker? Weaker is not inferior. But weaker is definitely weaker. Now, if we just have an arm wrestling contest here tonight, we'd find out that not everybody's equal. Some are going to be weaker than others. Some are going to be stronger than others. You know, we don't deny or resist the fact that some people are weaker than others in other areas. For example, you know, babies and children, those who are sick or injured, or those who were born with disabilities of some kind, we don't argue with the fact that they're weaker. We don't think less of them because they're weaker. We don't count them as inferior because they're weaker. We just know that they're weaker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ye that are strong, what are you supposed to do?
Help those that are weak.
Help those that are weak. Yes, sir. And so it's not any kind of a shame deal here. It's just a statement of fact. Why would anybody deny this obvious fact that all aspects of a woman's nature are of a more delicate and tender design? You know, a woman ought to want to look like a woman.
Yes.
Dress like a woman. She ought to want to appear feminine, not masculine.
Right.
Why would a woman want to appear masculine? Even when they do, they don't really look masculine, do they? They just look like freakish. Women are supposed to. We know what a woman's supposed to look like. And we know that she's supposed to look more tender. You know, she don't have this on her face. Yeah. She don't have bulging muscles. She doesn't have this hardened look on her face. She don't spit tobacco juice. You know, I mean, that's just, you know, women are of a more tender nature. Just that way. They're designed by God that way. It's a dishonor, you know, it's not a dishonor to her that she's weaker, but just the contrary. It's more the reason for her husband to honor her because of that fact. In the sight of God, we're all weak. Do you ever think about that? You ever think how what we look like in the sight of God as far as strength? When God says, be strong to one of us, you almost got to laugh about it, because how can we be strong in the sight of God? How can we imagine ourselves strong in the sight of God when we're just like a worm? It can be squashed with anything. A rock fall off a hill, a tree fall on us, and we're done. Just busted. It's a relevant thing, being weak. Weaker, that's comparing to. Y'all understand basic English,
right?
Don't you?
Right.
It's comparing between two. She's the weaker vessel. Between men and women, she's the weaker vessel. It's not a dishonor to her either. In the sight of God, we're all weak, but this is a comparison between men and women in general. She is the weaker vessel of the two. Now, obviously, there are weak men and there are strong women. Like that one I was telling you about this morning. No, I wouldn't mess with a woman who can pick up a piece of timber like that. But in general, the general rule, and there's no arguing about it, is that women are the weaker vessel of the two. Now, there's just no arguing about it. You can come up with foolish relevancy things and all of that. Well, I know a woman, you wouldn't be able to whoop and all. Well, go ahead. But the truth remains, and the Bible says she's the weaker vessel. And so We're not going to get nowhere until we acknowledge that and believe what God said.
That's right.
Now, husbands, I don't care how mean she is, you better realize she's the weaker vessel. Don't marry, what kind of look she can give you and how hard she can throw a skillet, you better believe she's the weaker vessel. You better get that now. So, weakness means unable to bear up under a heavy load. That's what it means. You know, weakness means that the thing will fail or break before it accomplishes its designed purpose, like a weak link in a chain. You know, we put a chain on the sawmill because it kept scooting it down the hill, and I chained it to a pole to keep it from doing that. Well, there was one link on it that just went and broke. It was the weak link. So the chain didn't hold. I had to put another link in it that was stronger. So weakness means that it will fail or break before it accomplishes its designed purpose. Like a weak supporting beam or a weak foundation. Like your house, Gary, the foundation got weak and it failed. The general rule to live by, according to the Word of God, y'all listening to me, you men, is that she will fail before you do when the load is heavy. When there's too much to carry. If he is so inclined to failure, now if the husband is so inclined to fail, where's she going to be? I mean, he's the one that's there to support her in her weakness. See?
Yeah.
And if he's so weak and inclined to failure, what kind of danger is she in? Husband, you think you got it rough and you can barely hang on. What do you think's happening to her? If he's so, you know, when the husband, what he may be able to survive in his strength, she's likely to succumb to. She can't take everything you can. I don't know how many of you remember or read it or remember, but Mike Pearl in that book about, he told about their wedding night and everything and how he was young and man, he was all, they spent the night on the beach digging clams or something. But he was just go, 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 go until she was about to drop.
She did.
Yeah, she did. Well, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. See? He wasn't there ready to quit. He still had enough to keep going, but she didn't. I mean, there's your mother, some of you. There's my wife here. Now, and I ain't too much on it anymore either, but I mean, do you think she can keep up with me? In the woods with a chainsaw or anything? No. No, I'm telling you, she can't.
Really?
Is that some dishonor to her? No, it's just the fact of life.
That's right.
I've known some strong women, and women ought to be girded with strength, like the Bible talks about in Proverbs 31. But there's different kinds of strength.
That's right.
And that's what it means here, endurance. She can't take some things that you can take. And that's some of the knowledge you better have if you're going to dwell with her. So, all that the husband decides to involve he and his wife with, listen, he's got to consider the fact that she's weaker than he. And if he can barely make it himself, she's likely to not be able to. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. I've seen a lot of missionaries take off and go to the field, and they were mismatched.
Yep.
And they didn't make it. One of them failed, and it was, many times it was her.
Yeah, that's right.
I've known missionaries whose wives were basket cases because she wasn't up to it. And he took her anyway and ended up having to come home because she just couldn't handle it. Nervous breakdowns. You know, sickness, fall all apart. So, dwell with them according to knowledge. Don't involve yourself in something that's going to involve her that she may not be able to take. Businesses, you know, people.
That's right.
We was talking about Miss Owen a while ago. Now, she's a strong woman.
Yes.
strong in every way. I mean, she's strong physically, she's strong-willed and determined and all of that. But I've seen her worked down. I've seen her crying. Well, we always said calf rope, you know, stop. Yeah. You remember she told the preacher when he had her up on that big ugly turtle shell out there, she said, if you try something like this again, I'm going to divorce you. Well, you know, I know him, and I know he wouldn't put on her more than she could bear. And he knows what her limits are, and he knows what it'd be like if he told her she couldn't help her or anything like that. But most men don't have they're not feeling of that pulse at all. They're just not paying attention. They just drag her along. She'll make it. You know, just holler at her once in a while. Tell her to get up and keep going. Well, she's not going to be able to. Well, let me move on here. She's weaker in all things. When it says the weaker vessel, that covers it all. Yeah, I mean, I know we're not being real exciting here tonight, but this is really important stuff. If I could tell any young men something, this is some of the stuff I would tell them. She's weaker in all things. She's not only weaker in physical strength, but in any other area that requires the exercising of strength, she's weaker. In temptation, she's weaker. She won't endure. The very first couple, the one that God made perfect, who was it that was deceived? Who ate first of the fruit? It's her. The serpent didn't even come to the man. If he had, it might have been a different outcome. But take heed there. Who did the serpent go to? Her. So if your home's, if the devil wants to destroy your home, who's he going to go to first? With his lying tongue and with his deceit and with his temptation and his accusations against God and you. He's going to go to her. Yes, he will. He's going to mess up her mind. He's going to put thoughts in her mind. And that's why that I said at the beginning, you better know what she's thinking. You better know what she's feeling. You better keep a close watch on her heart and her mind. And the influences that are around her. Where was Adam while the devil was talking to his wife? I've often wondered that. Yeah. If they'd have been dwelling together, the devil wouldn't have got the opportunity. And now everybody has their separate cell phones, their separate Facebook accounts, their separate Instagram accounts. Everything's separate. Just prime ground for the devil to work.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's right. Nobody can message me unless she sees it. Yep. Nobody can message her unless I see it. I get her email. Yeah. And I see it. She don't even see half of it. I have to tell her, you got an email. I'm telling her, you never. You say, well, I wouldn't know. Right. Well, you're walking, you're getting your feet in the fire, let me tell you. You're playing with dynamite. There's a devil, and he wants to destroy everything. He's as going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So don't give him place. Give not place to the devil. Don't give him the opportunity and the ammunition and give him every opportunity to get you.
That's right.
It would bother me real bad, I'm telling you. Yeah. For my wife to have a private life separate from me that I didn't know anything about or know what was going on. You're not going to make it that way. She's weaker in discerning the deception of the devil and other people. Especially her children and other men. She can be deceived way easier than you can. Y'all hear me? Mm-hmm. Let me say it again. By who? By her children. Mm-hmm. It's hard for mama to believe her children or do anything wrong. Her children can just snow her as easy as pie.
Yeah. Yep.
Now that's the general rule. Some women are sharper in that, but most of them are not. I've been alive a while, long enough to watch this and see, and Mama will just take their side. Daddy's more apt to see what's going on and acknowledge it than she is. Now, not always, but pretty much that's the way it is. Other men can deceive her very easily. She's very vulnerable. So you better watch.
Yes, sir.
You better be on top of things. Yes. That's right. Says something about you're the gatekeeper for your children. You're the gatekeeper for your wife too.
Yes, sir.
Dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Be there. Know what's going on. Talk. Spend time together.
Right.
Order your life as one together instead of separately. Share your burdens and sympathize with one another.
Yes.
Be a comfort to one another over the problems at work and everywhere else and with the children. Present a united front to the children.
Yes.
Don't be divided. Anything that's divided is going to destroy it all. And standing against evil when it raises its ugly head, women are weaker. Now, women like teaching. That's what the Bible talks about in the last days. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, that's mostly the women. And read it. I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah.
They like the teaching. They don't like that standing against evil. You know who gets offended when a preacher really, I mean, lowers the plow against sin?
The women
get mad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Before the men do. So in standing against evil, the women are weaker. They're not going to be as strict with the children. They'll let things slide. Now that's generally how it is. I'm not saying that's the way it is every single time. I'm just telling you this is the general rules that God set down here. She's the weaker vessel and she's weaker in that. All right, I'll stop with that. Let's go on down to the next little phrase. And he said, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Well, that's more evidence that true Christianity is distinct from all other religions in the way the women are treated by the men. You know, they get mad because the Bible says the women are to keep silent in the church. That don't mean that they're out, that they have nothing to do with anything religious or, with the faith. That little phrase that we just read there, being heirs together, the grace of life, that puts her on equal standing with her husband. Heirs together. There's another verse that talks about us being heirs together with Christ. She's a part of Him, not a separate realm or level of life or level of importance. She is part of Him. She's your one. And the husband ought to love his wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for. All that he has is hers, and all that she has is his. Now, I remember when we got married, we didn't have anything, and still don't have much, but I remember saying this little phrase in our vows, with all my worldly goods I thee endow. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, now I mean, I got my tools and she's got her stuff, but she can use my tools as long as I can keep her from cutting her fingers off and stuff. Yeah, and as long as she puts them back. They are heirs together of the grace of life. That's a whole message right there. They share life and its blessings. They share life and its burdens. They share life and its victories and its defeats and its good times and its bad times. When you get married, you say something else. For better or worse. Don't you say that? For better or for worse. In sickness and in health. For richer or for poorer. You promise each other that. So that's what the marriage is about. You share life and you share the knowledge and the fellowship of God as you walk together experiencing His grace together. Heirs together of the grace of life. The grace. Grace of life. What is grace?
The influence of God.
It's the divine influence of God. The real power of God in your life. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so, your prayers be not hindered, it said. That your prayers be not hindered. A man can't pray effectively, effectually, if he's not rightly related to his wife. Mm-hmm. Your prayers are hindered.
Yep.
When people fight all the way to church, and then they come in, I mean, and then somebody says, well, brother, would you lead us in prayer? What a dumb thing to do. He ain't going to pray nothing. His prayers ain't going nowhere. God ain't listening to him.
Yep.
I remember my grandma told me years ago when we were, before we got married, she said, well, now, here's what I'm going to tell you. She said, you don't ever go to bed mad at one another. Reckon that's a good idea?
Yes. Yes,
sir. Sound to me like a lot of people here went to bed mad at each other before. Boy, we hit a stump there, didn't we? It's good advice.
Yes, sir. Sure.
By, in fact, it's in the Bible, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Man can't pray effectually if he's not rightly related to his wife. And it doesn't depend on her reaction or response, but on his obedience to God in this matter that we've been talking about. Dwell with them according to knowledge. And it doesn't depend, you know, if a man doesn't treat his wife in the way God instructs him to in his word here, then his prayers are vain. You want to be able to pray?
Yes, sir.
Do you ever know anybody that really could pray? Jerry asked me there today, he said, if you know anybody else who prays, he said, please tell them to pray. He said, I've got people praying all over the country, and he said, if you know anybody that really does pray, there's a difference. You know, we started having prayer meeting in Virginia. Remember years ago, we started having prayer meeting every night. And it just got around. And it's still that way. People call and write from all over the country and say, would you please pray for me, for my daughter, for my husband, my wife? People catch on. They know the difference. You know, people that wouldn't even come to church, stayed mad at everybody there all the time and everything, and then leave the church and go somewhere else. That's what I've told you before so many times. You know, a lot of people left the church over there, but it's still like they're still part of the family, but they won't come around. But when they have a need, when they have a sickness or some tragedy in their family, do you know who they call to pray? They don't call the wherever they're going to church at. They still call home. Say, would you please pray?
Yeah.
Ain't that something? Do you want to be able to pray? Men?
Yeah.
When your child's sick and dying, when your wife's laying there sick and dying, do you want to be able to pray? Well, then you better live this way. Better run your household this way. Better manage your marriage this way. Better give honor to your wife as unto the weaker vessel. That your prayers be not hindered. So, think of the positive contrast here. If a man does honor and treat his wife in a way that pleases and honors God, he can pray, and his prayers will be effectual. And you know that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, don't you? So all this is very much key to happiness in life, to success in marriage. It's a key. You know, and I've seen worldly surveys that agree with this. The happiest marriages are the old traditional kind of marriages where the man is the head of the home and the wife is, and she's honored by her husband, and everything's in order according to God's way. Those are the happiest marriages. They even say so. Ain't that crazy? They know the truth. but they won't submit to it. So all this is very much key to happiness. Each of us should accept what we are and the station of life in which God has placed us and strive to fulfill the role that God has assigned to us. If you're a husband, this is for you tonight. If you're a wife, we've said plenty about that. You've got a different station in life, a different place than your husband does. He has his place, you have your place. And if you will stay in your place and do your duty before God, you'll have a happy home and a happy life and a happy marriage, and you'll come to a good end one of these days. You'll have happy children that'll grow up with a sound mind and a balanced way of looking at everything, who are good people and treat other people right because they've seen mom and dad treat each other right. Holler and scream and cuss each other and blame and carry on. It's not going to turn out that way for you. As life progresses, our station and role changes. Yeah, I remember thinking we were going to, you know, that in a few years we could be grandpa and grandma. And I remember how ridiculous I thought that was. Well, now it's the way it is. We got a whole bunch of grandchildren. And I look like a grandpa now. And so station has changed. You know? Yep. I'm still a father and a husband, but I'm something else now too. And that kind of changes the whole thing. Children are not children forever. They grow up. And they become wives and husbands. And their primary responsibilities change, and others are added. You stand with me? At some point, it is inevitable that husbands and wives are separated by death. And Brother Parker up there, you know, his wife died back in December. Knew it hadn't been long. You know how you forget times and everything. Just went, look, it was December 14th, I believe, that Miss Imogene passed away. Well, he didn't last long, did he? You see it in the news often where a husband and wife pass within hours of each other. They just... they've dwelled together so long that they just can't... Yeah, just can't live without the other. Then their life takes on a different role, and it can be difficult to find your place. You've been a husband for so long. You've been a wife for so long. You've done your duty before God. You've obeyed the word of God in it, and now you feel kind of like you don't know what to do. Well, here's, let me tell you what to do. And it's in the Bible too. What are the aged men supposed to do? They're to be sober. And they're to teach the younger too. They're to be an example to the other believers. And the aged women, what are they supposed to do? They're to teach the younger women to be keepers in home and to love their husbands. Bear children. Be keepers in home, bear children, and to love their husbands. Same thing what we're talking about and through all of this we've been preaching about.
Yep.
So our role may change, but the duty stays the same.
Yeah.
Well, this is so important that God has instructed us that this is everybody's business. No matter if you're a husband or if you still have a wife or not, you're still to see that this is what people learn how to do. The young people, the children, they need to grow up and learning this as they grow up. So they don't have to be corrected in mid-stride while they're already married and they've already made all this mess and then try to change it up. No, if you go into it with right from the beginning, that's the way to go. So they should focus on helping and encouraging their children and others to be what they should be in their marriage and appreciate every day they have to be together. When our life changes, we'll be forever more thankful that we walked in God's ways before that great change came into our life. I'm talking about losing your spouse. If we refuse to obey God and submit to His divine plan and order now, we'll live with the bitter regret and when that change comes. You'll be glad. When you do right in any area of life, you'll be glad in the end that you did. You'll never regret doing right.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You'll never regret loving your wife, loving your husband, women, loving your children. You'll never regret all that.
No.
Well, Mrs. Esther, you was talking about yesterday, the older lady in the nursing home talking about her children when they were little. She had a son that died, and she remembered him when he was a baby and how she held him and didn't want him to grow up and counted each day as precious because it was, she knew they were going to grow up.
Yeah.
Think she regrets that?
No.
But we just get up and live every day and go to work and come home and gripe and fuss at one another. And
shame.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, and you never know when it's going to happen. I mean, we've done in our prayer list here today, young woman over there, young, I mean, 25 years old or so, in the hospital, danger of her life. You know, what if something happens to her? And it does. It happens all the time. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And you don't know what tomorrow. I mean, every day we live, we ought to count it as
precious.
Yes. We're using it up real fast. And so, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's some of the knowledge you need too. This ain't going to last forever. There's so many days, and only God knows how many. Catches a lot of people by surprise. They're expecting to grow old together and die together in the same nursing home and all that, and then right in the middle of life, something happens. So many people like that. I look at people and I feel bad for them because, you know, if you grow old together and your family and your grandchildren and you got them all around you, that is really a blessing of life. Because there are so many people that don't have that. They don't get to see that. Through death or divorce or all kinds of stuff now. You want it to work. If you're going to get married, you want it to work.
Yes.
You don't want it to be a lifelong battle. You want it to be a lifelong blessing.
That's right.
And this is the way God says to do it. Take heed. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the Word of God. I do thank you for the truth. Lord, how I wish that I'd known and been instructed and had a heart and mind to believe and seek these truths many long years ago. Sure would have saved a lot of grief and trouble and sorrow. Pray, Lord, that those listening would get this, and Lord, that they would apply it in their life, and that they would turn off the world's philosophies and advice and wicked ways, and that they would listen to the Word of God and do it your way. And please help us all, Lord, the time we have left to obey you in these things, and be a blessing one to another. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for the time together today. In Jesus' name, amen.